Now everybody, let me tell you a story about Hollywood shame. Where terrible actors and scripts collide. Oh, what a mess it is on the other side. Saw the lights, camera, action begin. But all I got was a movie that plunged in a spin. From the first scene to the credits that roll. Oh, Hollywood disaster, you've taken its toll. Silver screen says cool, bad movies galore. Can't help but wonder what the hell were they making these for. Throwing some cliches to shut the predictable plot. It's a train wreck, I tell you, it's all they ever got.
And now for our feature presentation.
Welcome to the Silver Screen Cesspool, where we review the poo. And now your host, the surveyor of cinema, the mocker of moronic movies, the terror of tiny town, the last known survivor of battlefield Earth, the one of many, Alan Smithy.
Tonight's film flop, available streaming on Freevee, is Beaster Day. Here comes Peter Cottonhell from 2014. Let me try that again.
Beaster Day, here comes Peter Cottonhell.
There, that was much better. Anyway, the plot goes like this. A whiny college girl moves back home with her dad and stepmom because that acting thing isn't working out for her. At the same time, a house-sized rabbit tromps around town, eating a lot of mostly naked, vaguely goth chicks, before eventually expanding its diet to men. But never a blonde woman, because they don't exist in this town for some reason. There is no explanation for this bald-faced, snaggle-toothed, giant rabbit. It just shows up on the doorstep like an Amazon Prime subscribe and save purchase. Our protagonist is a bitter second-place runner-up for Dog Catcher of the Year. This is the saddest excuse for a rivalry in a movie, action or comedy category. The brains behind the movie were trying to get their money's worth with their green screen special effects, as they couldn't even bother digging a rabbit hole. They just green-screened one in, and poorly at that. At one point, an equestrian rides into a tree and gets green-screened in half while the horse stands there looking bored and annoyed. I want to emphasize that they did not ride fast into this tree, they just kind of bumped into it and suddenly fell apart in half. I theorize that this horrible-looking rabbit was originally intended to be a rat. When they realized they had no idea how to make this rat marionette thing walk, they decided to make it a rabbit, since it kind of looks like it hops instead. It's a sad horse skull on a frail, dried-out fursuit that only resembles a rabbit in that it has four legs, even though it only ever walks on the back two, and the feet don't face forward when it hops. And I think the knees bend backwards, too. They don't even give it long ears or a fluffy cotton tail or even a creamy nougat center. I guess it could be a mummified corpse of a rabbit made into a macabre marionette inserted in via green screen. I genuinely wonder about the mental health of the characters in this movie when they scream, "Oh no, a giant rabbit," because this thing looks so little like a rabbit, I have no idea why they think that. Back to the plot. Daddy makes our failed actress get a job, so she tries to fail at that as well. But the requirements to be a dog catcher in this particular reality are that you can wear a hat. And since her ears hold up a hat, she gets the job, much to her dismay. The town's mayor is a slacker, corporate, yuppie, stoner dude, which at least for this movie explains away the government's inaction on the giant monster problem. Also, I assume there's some confusion on how to handle the situation because he keeps calling it Easter Day instead of just Easter. Like, he's some sort of alien pretending to be human, but needing help understanding the minutiae of how you talk about holidays. I mean, we don't say Halloween Day, just like we don't say Easter Day. The rest of the holidays we say day, but not Easter. But he keeps throwing an Easter Day there, like this weirdo. Anyway, that's my headcanon that he's an alien. Anyway, runner-up dog catcher of the year is crushing on the new co-worker, failed actress. It's a nice change of pace at this point in the story from all the brunette bunny bites being taken. Seriously, like eight busty brunettes who never interact with anybody else in the movie get eaten before anybody notices anything wrong. For whatever reason, the runner-up dog catcher's lines are very weirdly edited. Like, his mic was picking up background train noises, and they only edited out the train noises when he wasn't talking. Like, they noticed it was a problem, and they made a half-assed attempt to fix it. And the Beaster Bunny, I can understand why they didn't make him shriek like Godzilla, because rabbits do not typically make noises unless you're watching a Cadbury commercial. But it stomps around town silently. When it stomps, there's no noise. It's just kind of dancing there, again, like this weird marionette thing. How bad does a movie have to be where I'm even criticizing the audio editing of it? So the Beaster Bunny is defeated when our enterprising new dog catcher, I'm sorry, make that dog catcher in the rye, dresses up her runner-up co-worker as a carrot. This is an orange prison jumpsuit with a green construction paper hat, complete with visible staples, uses it for bait, and shoots the big-assed bunny with a gun. Okay, so there are a few problems with this particular plot point. First of all, this bunny has been running around eating people. Why do you need to dress up a person like a carrot to use it for bait? Why not just use him as a people? Two, we're at the end of the movie and it's just now occurring to somebody to use a gun to kill this thing? Did nobody use the gun because Bugs switched the sign to say it's duck season? 50-foot rabbit, fine. But in America, it not occurring for somebody to shoot the damn thing? Completely implausible. And it's not like she shot it a bunch of times. She shot it like twice, and it's dead. Ugh. Least believable part of the movie, nobody shoots the thing. The credits list the Snig brothers as writers, directors, producers, and cinematographers. And as a general rule, the more roles listed for one name in the credits, the worse it is.
Silver Screen Cesspool is written, directed, and starring Alan Smithy. Assistant director, producer, and stunt coordinator, Alan Smithy. Boom mic operator, sound editing, and music by Alan Smithy. Construction coordinator, The Amazing Rando. Makeup by Crayola. Catering was provided by the Soylent Corporation. Alan Smithy will be back in Return of the Curse of the Planet of the Prehistoric Bikini Ninjas versus Kingdom of the Bride of the Killer, Shark Cheerleaders 2, Electric Boogaloo.